Hello and welcome to episode 10 of our Trainee Times podcast series. I'm David Pritchard, head of marketing at Sintons, along with my usual co-host, fifth year solicitor apprentice Leah Greenwell. And we're really pleased to be joined by Lee Garbutt, who is a first year trainee solicitor here at Sintons. And we're looking forward to speaking to Lee because Lee does have really quite an interesting story. Lee has come to law slightly later, perhaps, than his contemporaries. He's done other things and has a wealth of experience in other areas. So again, we're just looking forward to just a different take and a different slant on the potentially traditional route into law. Okay, so then, episode 10, as I say, Lee, Leah, welcome. Good afternoon, how are you?
Well, good, thanks. It is tricky with Lee and Leah because I'm sure Lee will tell you shortly we're on the same floor. We're both in commercial property, and if somebody shouts for us, it gets a little bit tricky, doesn't it?
Yeah, good afternoon, it is indeed. So I think the safest thing we do is just turn around at the same time.
We do, don't we?
To make sure someone picks it up, but yeah.
Which either looks like you're really attentive or just really, really nosy.
Yeah. Probably the latter.
Yeah, probably the latter.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to recording this one today. Leah, I can't believe we're on episode 10. I know I say that each time, and we are now kind of recording these in order, aren't we, for the rest of the series. And it's quite sad, actually, how much fun this has been that we are on episode 10, and we've basically got a few left to go, haven't we, really?
We're going to
we're gonna have to think of another podcast series, I think, to replace this when this is done.
Maybe we don't even need the trainees, David.
Just our weekly, weekly update on life.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Perhaps we'll do a little bit of that. So, Lee, as I mentioned, I gave you quite a good write-up in the end of episode 9 with Charlotte when we was talking about what an interesting story you've got. That, what an interesting guy you are as well, which I've always thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, and that you just have such a wealth of experience elsewhere and that you're here now as a trainee solicitor. So going to follow pretty much the usual format, if that's okay. We're going to talk extensively about you. We want to know the absolute ins and outs, and then we're going to completely pry into your personal life in the way that we do with all these podcasts. And then you and I are going to chat, aren't we, about external events, a bit of a follow-on from the corporate social responsibility with Charlotte, but also kind of the external events that we get involved with. And just so that people listening kind of have an understanding of what's expected them as trainee solicitors and things they can get involved with. We are then going to talk about current training contract recruitment, and then I believe Leah has a corker of a left field question for us today, which I'm very excited about. Leah, I'm sure you're very excited about.
I'm very excited about it, as always.
So tell us a little bit about yourself then. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of Lee.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for that introduction, David. Hopefully I can live up to it. I think from my point of view, as you mentioned at the top, obviously it's quite a different route that I've taken from my point of view, which I think is obviously going to lend itself quite well to the podcast, with it being a mixture of experience across everyone that'll be on the podcast. So I've obviously came to law quite late, as you've mentioned, from my point of view.
I did say late compared to your contemporaries, because one of the things I think that we have really tried to hammer home through this series is there is no one size that fits all in terms of how you get it. It's all about the journey, and that sounds like the naffest thing I've ever said, but actually it is.
Is that not a quote from a film? It's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
I think I read it in a Christmas cracker once or something, like that. I think it's
listened to that on We the Pooh,
sort of one of those. But actually, genuinely, joking aside, if law is something you want to do, then you know you should follow that regardless of age, whether you know at 18, 19, if that's something you want to do for the rest of your life.
Sabrina, who was in year 9 or year
exactly,
10, wasn't
exactly.
she? And she knew that was a route that she wanted to go down, which was really interesting. So,
or if, like yourself, you've come to it
a
few years later.
Absolutely, yeah. I would definitely echo that point. Like I said, it's not one size fits all, is it? I suppose you might know from the outset that law is definitely for you, which I did to an extent when I was finishing college. I went straight into university from there to do law. Did the 4-year exempt degree at Northumbria, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I was coming out of the course at the time when there wasn't too many training contracts available at the time. It's obviously always difficult, isn't it, to obtain the training contracts.
It's really competitive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, speaking to the trainees not long after I had started, going down the solicitor apprenticeship route. I didn't really know how the kind of grad recruitment process worked, but I remember speaking to them and them saying how competitive it was, the different schemes that they had been in, firms across Newcastle, firms down south, across the country, and just saying, you know, the volume of applications they get through, you know, the level of talent that law firms see, it can be really, really competitive.
Yes, so I decided to go into paralegal work after, which I think tends to be a traditional route, doesn't it, for a lot of people that finish.
Okay, so just because I'm jumping there, GCSEs, A-levels?
Yep, GCSE levels.
And then where did you go from there?
And then straight from college doing A-levels, which included law. Mm-hmm. I thought, I do like law.
Right,
so
okay.
Then I went straight into university at Northumbria to do the 4-year.
Oh, excellent. So you did law at that point. Right, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so continued obviously with the degree for the 4 years, which included the LPC.
Right.
Then decided to go into paralegal
work. And that's
when
you did that at that point, right?
Yeah,
okay,
did that for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then thought, actually, I might want to try something different.
Okay.
So I think that's when the journey, if you like, started for me into the sort of different career paths, if you like, which ultimately has led us to where I am today. So that was a mixture of following the paralegal work into the welfare to work sector.
Right, I'm with you.
Within that sector, if you like, I undertook a role in recruitment. So there was quite a sales emphasis role, trying to get people back into work, mm-hmm, that were unemployed. Following that, I really enjoyed the sales aspect and thought, sales has got to be for myself.
Okay.
Which has then led me into pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Wow.
So did pharmaceutical work for...
As a
sales manager for a pharmaceutical company. So I basically had a field-based role as opposed to an office role, covering Berwick down to North Yorkshire.
Right,
so
okay.
It was quite...
quite a wide area.
Yeah, though. Yeah. It was quite a contrast to sort of sitting in an office, but it was great experience for me just to be out and about every day, face-to-face, speaking to people, which has ultimately obviously helped us come back round to where I am today. But yeah, just trying to sell pharmaceuticals to everyone across primary care, secondary care, NHS trusts for about a period of 2 years, and absolutely loved that role. But it did actually make us realise I like the sales aspect of the work, but I missed the technical detail side of work, which ultimately I come to the conclusion, well, doing the law degree, that's the work I want to do as well. So I then decided to continue the journey to take up a role as a risk and compliance manager.
Was that for a law firm or was that
It
for...
was for an exam board.
Okay. Wow, very wide ranging and in different areas.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, it is. I knew it would be interesting, but I knew you'd done other things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We've talked about this, haven't we, the first week you've met and a couple of times since, but I didn't actually realise quite how wide ranging. So you've gone from paralegal and law, you've gone then into welfare, you've then gone into pharmaceuticals,
yeah,
which is completely different again, and then you've gone in now to
compliance
in an exam board.
Yeah, so I thought, like I said, I thought I was missing the technical side, so I thought, right, let's change career again, which led us to the exam board as the risk and compliance manager. So that operated on a global scale to an extent, with the exam board being quite a popular one, if you like, in terms of the exam boards that's available in the UK, but also obviously outside of the UK as well. So I ended up being there for about 4.5 years.
Right.
Loved my time there in terms of the technical work. Obviously, regulation and compliance lends itself to the legal degree that I
absolutely
that I had.
Compliance being a huge part of what we do and being a regulated body.
Yeah, absolutely. So managed to kick on quite nicely when I was doing that work. The business grew whilst I was there, which was quite exciting. But again, coming to a bit of another realisation that the regulation work I was doing was only to an extent with it just being a compliance role. And I ultimately realised that I should be following what I originally planned to do at university, albeit I've just went through a bit of a different route, which I think ultimately has been helpful in terms of gaining extra experience. But I always look at it like this, David, to be honest with you, I see a solicitor's role of being a mix between the sales aspect in terms of networking, speaking to clients, bringing on new clients, but also the technical work in terms of the legal work itself. So
I would agree entirely. I think there is a mixture of role, the physical work work, the legal work, the fee earning, obviously is a prerequisite, but there are all the other intangibles, I believe, that you need to be successful in a law firm in 2022 and to climb through the ranks, to be promoted, to get where you want to go till you're in a position to really influence change within a business. So I think that's absolutely right. So at that point, did you start thinking about law then, or was it via something else? Did you do deep sea fisherman for a couple of years before you came back? Yeah. Or was it at that point straight into looking for training contracts?
Yeah, I suppose thankfully maybe for the listeners, I didn't decide to change into something else. That's when I realised, yeah, essentially the solicitor role, part mix of the sales aspect to an extent and the legal work, that was finally, if you like, the realisation that was the route I wanted to go down.
What I like about that, with Amy had worked in law, she'd got a training contract while she was here, and then she took some time to go and travel. And through that, I think it's one of the most poignant things kind of with the podcast series, she says that actually the traveling and that development of herself and her personality and sort of attitude and sort of all the rest of it had meant that actually on the back of that, she was a better lawyer when she came back now than she probably would have been if she hadn't took the break. And I think that's really important for people who are considering taking a break and taking some time. And you've talked about qualification leave, and would you do that at the end of your 6 years, Leah? But I think you're the first person you are the first person we spoke to who's actually had that clear path for law, worked in it for a bit, done an absolute bunch of other things, and then kind of come back round, but has come armed with all these other skills, a sales element, a BD element. You've got, obviously, when you're there selling pharmaceuticals, you're on the road a lot, so you're on your own, but then you're working a part of a team with other roles. You've got all these kind of intangibles and all this experience and all this kind of self-starting drive to then come back and say, right, now I'm going to go for this. And obviously that's what you've done. So applied for Sintons.
Did, yes. Yeah, exactly that. What you mentioned there, David, I thought, right, partway in through my role that I was in as a risk and compliance manager, I thought, right, this is definitely the route for me, that I'm going to go back into the training contract route and start applying. But I think from my point of view, I appreciate everyone's in the same boat as when they apply. I thought, right, which firm's going to be right for me? Because I thought, I don't want to sort of do a scattergun approach across. So yeah, just thought, right, I'm going to give it a go. And Sintons was always one that sort of stuck out, not some cliche, when I was at university. And obviously there's a strong pull there in terms of the local firm that it is as well.
Absolutely.
Based in Newcastle. So yeah, decided, right, get the application ready and let's go for it.
It's funny where we end up, isn't it? As I left university and I did various retail.
When did you leave university?
Well, I left senior school here, as you know, in 1992, so I would have left university around 97 98.
And it's not as fun because Lee's, you know, as he said, coming into law a little bit later. So
because he's closer to my age than yours. Yeah, I've got back up here this episode. That's what you say.
I was going to dig you out, but people probably think I'm older by the time I've went through CV.
So I did various retail management, and then I realised from that actually it was marketing I wanted to work into, and I'd worked in marketing at the very, very start of the internet, doing internet sales for a well-known estate agent, and I kind of fell into law by accident. Loved it. But I was telling Leah, and I may have said this in one of the early podcasts, I did my work experience when I was 14 for a week in a law firm in the central Middlesbrough, and I absolutely hated it. I hated it from start to finish. Mother had to practically kick me back in there every day. I really, really didn't like it. But obviously, here I am, and I'm coming up now. This year is my 20th year working in marketing in law firms, and it's flown over. And it just goes to show, and we said this very early on, and we have concentrated so much, haven't we, on the solicitor apprentice and training contract recruitment. But there might be other people here who are really, really keen to get into law, but actually, like me, don't want to be lawyers. And we have, as I've mentioned, some phenomenal talent here that's aside from the legal talent, in addition to the legal talent, who've never wanted to be lawyers but have had, and are having successful, fulfilling careers, such as obviously marketing, IT. Our IT systems are absolutely second to none here. HR, people services,
our accounts team,
who are phenomenal, our front of house team, our secretarial team, our reception team, all who help to make the firm work. So it's amazing where you end up, isn't it, really, and how you can just find that niche for yourself and carve out that niche, and before you know it, sort of time's flown.
Yeah, like I said before, I think it's just a goes back to the point about the one, it's not just one path for everyone, isn't it, really? It's definitely an individual route, and obviously I'm sort of testament to that from the experience that I've had.
Okay, so you were successful, you went through the recruitment week and process, which we've talked a whole bunch about, Leah and I and our various guests, so I'm probably not going to spend too much time on the process itself, but you were successful, you started with us in September, you went straight into commercial property as your first seat. Tell us how that's been.
It's been great, to be honest with you, David. Generally has been. I think the department's really, really busy, which I think's been great for obviously myself and Leah's in the department as well, as you mentioned there before. So 6 months nearly, which is absolutely, again, cliche, but absolutely flown by.
It has, I can't believe, because, you know, part of the apprenticeship, we do a few longer seats before we enter into kind of our final 2 years, which replicates a training contract. So this is my first seat on a 6 month rotation with Lee, and it has, it's flown by. I can't believe how quickly it's gone, because we're due to change seats in a few weeks. So,
and I was, a couple of times I've gone to ring you about employment things, and you haven't actually been there for 6 months.
But
so,
no. Guess who's going there next?
Oh, so that is your next seat.
Yeah, so
it's ringing Lee soon.
Absolutely,
it's went that quick. I'm going into another seat now. So yeah, moving into employment is my next seat, which I'm really looking forward to. So
that will be from March.
It will be, yeah, from March onwards.
I was in employment and I had an absolutely fantastic time. The team are brilliant and you'll have a completely different experience to real estate. So I think, you know, you're going to get quite a lot of variation already just across those two seats that you've had, which is, it's going to be really, really good.
And the department are at the forefront of BD. So from the point of view, there's a lot of content goes out from them, so you'll be working on a lot of things with us, updates, bulletins, that sort of thing. There's the monthly live question and answer session we do on the last Friday of each month, which we've been doing since the start of the pandemic.
That's been fantastic,
yeah,
as
it
well
has.
Hasn't it
started weekly and then moved monthly, and we just inundated with questions that were put to us each month. That's their great.
They do podcasts at department level as well.
Absolutely,
don't they? So
yeah,
you'll be a pro Lee by the time
two
you get
big
there.
And two big seminars a year, so we're just actually working on the one for April now, which we just pushed out on Friday, so we're just getting that already, and that's usually in excess of 100-150 people. So you'll get a lot of exposure to clients, to business development. They do some really quite strategic targeted events as well, so you should have a absolutely fantastic seat there.
I think that's a good thing, isn't it? Every department does seem understandably very different, even with the BD targeted work as well. There's obviously different options to what each department does, so yeah.
We've talked at length about the firm being a full service firm and having a full service offering has been actually one of the benefits and one of the strong points of your training contract, because you do get to see such different areas, and we can always tell, particularly in my team, we can meet someone for their first week when they start with us, and we can pretty much tell straight away where we think they'll end up in terms of where their personality lends to, and that's the beauty of it. You get to see so much, and you get to, hopefully, you get to qualify into an area that really, really suits you and that you feel really comfortable is your desired area of law, I guess. Okay, well, I actually can't believe we've been talking probably for about 20-21 minutes already. So really happy to leave that there. As I said, really interesting story, Lee. So I'm glad you've shared that, and I'm sure our listeners will be as interested in that as we are, and just highlighting again the different routes. That's the whole point of this podcast, is the different routes into law, the different accessible routes into this business, whether you come in straight from finishing your degree, whether you choose this solicitor apprentice route and you know, like Sabrina did, that she wanted to do this from age 16, or you've gone out and experienced a whole host of other environments and sectors like Lee did, or even like I did. So tell us then a little bit about you outside of work. You've got to make that now as interesting as your career history's been.
I know, I was going to say, geez,
no pressure
there. From my point of view, hobbies and interests, like most people, absolutely love me sports.
Okay.
So one of the main attractions to Sinton's was obviously St James's right across the road.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't so much of an attraction for Dan, was it?
Yeah, I can see that, Sunderland fan. Yeah, probably doesn't want to sit next to a window, does he, if he's a Sunderland fan, but yeah.
It is fantastic being across from the football ground.
It is amazing.
I'm not the biggest football following. I probably don't always appreciate, you know, what's going on with Newcastle, but on match days, you can't deny how brilliant the atmosphere is around. around the stadium, and which is, you know, in turn around the office as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so
it's quite funny actually. Story when I used to work at my previous firm, we had a lot of events, convention type events at the height of kind of the boom, and a lot of the events we had on the site. So we're in St James's early morning ones, and my team would sort of set up and then the speakers would start, and kind of we'd come away while they were doing that. And I can remember one morning looking back at Sinton's, and it was probably around the time it's just finished being built, and looking back and just thinking, God, that looks like such an amazing building, such an amazing environment. I wonder if I'd ever go to Sinton's. I wonder if I got to Sinton's, whether I could make it in Sinton's. And I remember having this kind of internal sort of dialogue within my own head for a couple of minutes anyway, then fast forward on however many years later, I'm interviewed and I'm appointed to come in and work on the digital presence. And I had my induction on there the first day, so then I'm in here looking back over and just remember that morning when I'd see exactly where I'd been stood on that kind of, I think it's the second floor landing, looking at Sinton's, thinking, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to be there. And then, you know, fast forward, and here I am kind of looking back at it. So it was quite a surreal moment. I did take a photo of it. I still have it on my phone. So, sports, yes. What else, Lee?
Yeah, so obviously sports is a big one for myself, so quite a lot of people into the sports in the office, which is great. I'm obviously good banter from that point of view, but me and my partner recently, two or three years ago, just bought a first house, so not necessarily a hobby, but we've ended up doing a lot of DIY.
Isn't it?
Yeah, which has continued on. Well, it's just never ending, the jobs, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. They never finish. So I've attempted to try and get into the DIY a little bit. Like I said, hobby's probably a little bit strong, but yeah, I've been scouring YouTube to do as much as I possibly can to save a few pennies. So yeah, not necessarily a hobby, but
that's probably the only career that you've not fulfilled.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I am quite enjoying it to an extent, so you never know, I might become a joiner soon.
Okay, at this point in the podcast, this is usually the part where I just talk for a couple of minutes about recruitment within the firm. Now, by the time you listened to this podcast, we are recording this second week in February. By the time you listen to this, it's actually pushed out our solicitor apprentice recruitment for a solicitor apprentice to join us in September 2022 will have closed. However, don't be disheartened by that. I'm sure there will be absolutely more opportunities to apply in the future, Sinton's, and to the growing number of firms that are engaging with the solicitor apprentice route. So what I would say is check on Northumbria University website and keep checking our website out for information around recruitment for solicitor apprentice. We are, however, still recruiting until the end of April for our 2024 cohort of trainee solicitors. So if you are interested, Leah will give you that all important website address.
It is www.sintons.co.uk.
As I've mentioned in the past, there is an absolute wealth of information on there about recruitment, about the process, about what we look for, comments from all our first and second year trainee solicitors and our solicitor apprentices, and of course the all important links to the online application which you'll need to submit. We also don't mind at all, and actually quite a few people have reached out to us as a result of the podcast series, if you want to drop us an email. And it may be that all the email addresses are on the website, I should add. It may be that you want to ask a specific speaker or myself or Leah a question. We've had quite a few in through LinkedIn. We've had quite a few in direct emails. So if you do want to ask something and there is a burning question, please do put it to our speakers, put it to us. And our last episode, episode 14, is going to be a pure question and answer session where we're going to take some of the most frequently asked questions through the podcast series, and we're going to have everybody there in the room, all 14 of us all together, and we're going to do a big session on answering those, and that will be the finale of this podcast series. So like I say, not currently recruiting for the solicitor apprentice for this year, but it will come round again, and we are now actively recruiting for 2024 for trainee solicitors. Okay, so at that point, Lee and I just want to take a couple of minutes just to talk to you about external events. Now, what we've tried to do throughout the series is just really kind of highlight some of the areas that are on the website. We've talked about our firm, our vision, our values, our clients, what we look for, what we expect, how you apply, what the journey's been like, charities we work with, and our corporate social responsibility. But now we want to talk about external events, because that is a huge part of what we do. That can be external events from the point of view of fundraising, as we talked about last time, but also that can be in terms of some of the external events the departments hold. So Lee, tell us, and Leah of course, tell us a little bit about what you've been involved in and enjoyed since you've been here.
I think from my point of view, the external events was straight off the bat, really, really early from my point of view. I think within the first week, I think I was here about 4 days, and Lee, obviously you were there as well. We went across to the Hilton for a property awards night.
Yeah, we did. I think you started at quite a nice timely, because
straight into black tie events, aren't you?
Straight into black tie events. Mm-hmm. And well, we were kind of in the middle of, you know, coming out of lockdown and social restrictions, so it was, you know, really good opportunity for you to get to an event like a black tie event, because I think prior to that, the last one that, you know, David and I probably went to was, well, it would have been 2019.
Yeah. So possibly the last thing we went together was Northern Law Awards, wasn't it?
Yeah, might have been.
So I was quite fortunate from that point of view, but I think you could tell when you were there, couldn't you, it was a really good atmosphere, because mm-hmm. the restrictions were coming to an end, and I think everyone was really keen to get back out, really, mm-hmm. and sort of mixing with one another. So that was a great experience straight off the bat, just to jump into that one.
And we were all together, weren't we, for the pool night, for the charity pool night we did.
Yeah, we had a fantastic turnout for that, didn't we?
It was a great night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that was one thing that, again, looking at since before I started, that was relatively early on into my training contract, and it was really well received, wasn't it, from mm-hmm. not only people within the firm, but there was a lot of people externally came and attended that gave really great feedback, just in terms of mixing with other people within the profession as well, which was great. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the pool night, and it was I think what people were asking for another one, weren't they?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of requests, you know, the same night and the following day that came in, didn't we, to say, you know, when is the next event going to be. So
prior to the pandemic 2019, it was the busiest events year my team had had, and we ran 109 events across the calendar year, and that could range from something kind of a more intimate nature where there's 3, 4, 5, sort of 6 people in a particular session, right up to 2, 3, 4, 500 for a seminar, or
like the employment updates that they do, they have a huge turnout.
We do 2 drinks events a year for clients, and they're always very, very well attended, and we're just sort of in the planning of those now, so it's lovely to have the freedom again and feel safe to be able to follow the guidance and actually be able to plan all these things again, because they are a huge part of what we do.
Absolutely. And just coming up this Friday, actually, Lee and I were at the Newcastle Eagles game. We're at the basketball this Friday. We've got some clients there. You know, I'm just as much into sports as kind of, you know, what Lee is as well. So when we have events that we can take clients to, at the rugby up at Kingston Park, over at St James's for the football, basketball events. David, you know all about the golf days that we have.
I do, that's
well.
Right, with our sponsorship with Close House.
Uh-huh. We have such a wide range of events that we can get involved in. I think we've had netball tournaments as well in the past, haven't we? Pool tournaments, or kind of everything and anything, isn't there, that we can get involved in?
Exactly. I mean, events fall into a few categories, don't there? So there's things that we're doing to raise money for our firm charity that we're working with for 2 years. We've just had the vote and announced our new firm charity. We're going to be working with the People's Kitchen for the next 2 years, which is really exciting. So I currently chair the Corporate Social Responsibility Committee, so we're just in planning now for a lot of events, the Trainee Challenge for this year, which you're both part of, and I will be driving the support vehicle, although how I feel about sleeping outdoors and not showering for 2 days is still, I think if I disappear for a while, it's because I'll have booked into a Holiday Inn. But anyway, it's a different story altogether. So it's the fundraising element. Obviously, there's the element of events where we are targeting and networking clients and potential clients to grow the business, mm-hmm. which obviously, you know, Lee, we've talked at length about that element of things today with your previous careers. And also there's supporting clients as well, isn't there? There's supporting clients that we work with their events. So there is a massive calendar of things to get involved with. And as trainee solicitors and solicitor apprentices at Sintons, you will have ample opportunity opportunity to represent the business, and that is effectively what you are doing. You become part of the brand itself, and you are pushing that forward with what you do. So legal work is a prerequisite, and obviously we need you to be excellent at that, but there are all these other things that you will have the opportunity to get involved with, and fundraising and business development is a huge part of it. Okay, so as we start to wind down on episode 10, Leah has our left field question of the week. So Leah, what have you got for us?
Now I'm sat here like a Cheshire cat because okay. I'm very excited about it, and I hope you are, Lee, because it's a very sport related question. So left field question of the week, what would be your wrestling entrance song?
God, it's left field, isn't it? This was the bit I was most nervous about. Sorry.
David has his. David is raring to go.
David has his. David would come out to If You Smell What The Rock's Cooking by The Rock, because obviously, don't laugh, the massive similarities between
myself and
Dwayne Johnson. I mean, he practically models himself on me, so.
I actually thought I was recording this podcast with The Rock. I don't know about you, Lee.
It's been said before. It's absolutely been said before.
I thought I was at the Super Bowl.
There you go. Topical. I like it. So that would be mine. Leo, let's come to you while Lee's desperately
thinking of any wrestler
he knows and what I'm watching.
I think I would probably go a little bit more fun with the crowd. I'm thinking like Salt and Pepper, Push It. I feel like that's a, you know, it's quite jolly. And actually, I have the outfit because me and my best friend are dressed up as Salt and Pepper.
So I'm going with an actual wrestler's theme tune. You're going with something not even remotely related. Lee,
well,
redeem us, please.
No, it's going to be a wrestling theme tune because
it's going to be associated with you. Okay, so Lee, you've had time to have a little think.
I have. I've thought it over, and I think I'd probably just go with something from AC/DC.
It's not a bad shout.
I like it.
Yeah,
normally gets the blood pumping, doesn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Certainly does.
It's that or Eye of the Tiger, eh?
Yeah, well, I was going to go for that, but I thought, oh, maybe a bit too cliche, so I'll go for the next cliche.
I mean, it's Rocky 3, yeah. Isn't it? So.
Absolutely. And Hulk Hogan was in that, and he's a wrestler. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at the beginning. Anyway, okay, we really have gone left field there today. Just a quick reminder, obviously this podcast series is slightly lighter in its tone than the usual content we deliver. I know I've talked about this at length in the other podcasts, but it is really because we do understand that applying is a daunting prospect, and obviously you're choosing a career that potentially you could have for the rest of your life. So what we are trying to do is humanize that process, ease that process, let you hear from the people who are here, who have been through the process, who are going through the process. You're going to hear from some of the people who have gone through it and now qualified and have happily stayed with Sintons. And obviously you've heard from me with my wealth of experience and just general stories. So that is why we are, as I say, slightly lighter in tone than normal. Right, well, that is it for today from us. So episode 11 is going to be with Emily Richardson, who is a first year trainee solicitor here at Sintons. She currently sits in the employment team. Now, she's the last of the trainees and solicitor apprentices that we're going to hear from being interviewed in this series. Episodes 12 and 13, we're going to hear from Ellie and Sam, who are both newly qualified within the firm. And then, as I mentioned, the final episode, episode 14, is going to be a massive group of us in a huge room answering questions that you've put to us. So we will see you for episode 11 in about a week's time. Thank you to Lee for sharing his life and his experience with us. Thank you to Leah for being here once again and coming up with a corker of a left field question. We are now going to go and sit and debate the importance of Hulk Hogan to popular culture. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll speak to you next time. Stay safe, everyone.